Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Building the Future AI Portugal podcast, a podcast where we talk about different topics related to artificial intelligence and machine learning. My name is Marco Antonio Silva, and you already know my good friends and partners in this initiative, Rui Quintino. Hi, Rui.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hi. And Vitor Santos. Hi, Vitor.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. So you may be wondering why I'm talking in English again, and you're correct. We're wondering because we have another amazing guest today to joining us on our conversation about AI for accessibility. He is the principal software engineer lead at Microsoft, one of the founders and faces of the project Seeing AI, a spokesman for software and system accessibility inside Microsoft and outside. Joining us from Redmond, USA, it's Saqib Sheikh. And thank you very much, Saqib, for being part of this conversation, for joining us and supporting this podcast. And it's a huge pleasure and honor to have you here. Thank you, Saqib.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Saqib, for people that may not know you, tell us a little bit what you're doing in Microsoft, what's your role, and a little bit of your journey.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, I lead the Seeing AI project. This is a project in the bigger sort of AI for good, AI for accessibility realm, where we look at how can we empower people with disabilities, and with Seeing AI, we are focusing on people who are blind or have low vision. How can we empower them, tackle some of those day-to-day challenges, and do that by leveraging the latest emerging technologies such as AI and augmented reality? So Sometimes I think of my job as, let's talk to our customers, people who are blind, and let's talk to our scientists, dreaming up the future, and bring those two worlds together.
That's amazing. That's like the best job in the world. Bring those two worlds that really have so much benefit from each other. So thank you for sharing that, and a very inspiring journey. If you guys didn't know Saqib and you want to follow him a little bit more, I strongly suggest that you click on the links for his Twitter and his LinkedIn profile on the description for this episode, and just follow him, because you won't regret it. It's going to be an amazing lesson for all of us. So thank you for sharing, Saqib. And moving to our main topic, and I think accessibility is something that we've been struggling a lot, and just kicking off the topic, we've been struggling a lot in terms of technology to solve. So applying technology to web, to standardize how we navigate the web and create all of those standards is something that we started bunch of years with the birth of the internet, and this is a standard and technological solution to create more accessibility on the web. We do this in engineering, in physical spaces, and I think it's very interesting how AI is starting to be a big tool and a big enabler for accessibility globally, and I know that this is a consequence of the fact that AI is growing globally. It's not just for accessibility, and also this enables a lot of scenarios in accessibility. But I think it's very interesting, because in the case of accessibility, it doesn't mean to be for in the case of Seeing AI for a blind person to be able to use it as a tool for interpreting the world. But even in other cases, in other terms of accessibility, is very, very interesting. And it's going to be an amazing conversation. I'm really, really looking forward to it and kicking off this topic. And I was going to ask you guys, and especially you, Saqib, how as part of the team that is leading part of that team that is leading these scenarios of accessibility in Microsoft, how do you see Microsoft positioned in the and innovating in this space of accessibility through AI? How do you see this?
So there's a bunch of great work going across the company, both in accessibility and AI. It's kind of like no surprise that we are also at the intersection of the two. So there's Seeing AI and several other projects like that, where we're actually creating the end user solution But then there's also a bunch of really powerful platforms that we have for other people to make the solutions. And then we also give grants. There's an AI for Accessibility grant program, which you search for any companies or nonprofits or individuals to get some money and some mentoring to create new accessibility solutions using AI. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here.
I think you can go back then a little bit to the point later on the conversation about these grants that we've been doing for AI for Good and AI for Accessibility, because good examples of things that we are empowering communities to use technology exactly to solve those types of problems. But I'm going to give it a little bit to Rui as well, pass it on to Rui, and to ask him in an open way how you see this, the power of AI systems to become the lives of people with disability more inclusive, more equal in terms of the power and reach that it can do.
You know, I was refreshing myself of work of Saqib and seeing AI, and I was deeply, deeply inspired. And I think I shared with you before. You know, I felt I changed a bit because, you know, for me it was not, and the message that you, Saqib, passed, and I think it is spot on, and it was not so clear to me. And sometimes we are, you know, pursuing some other projects that have a different ambition or to reach a wider audience, but those projects very often fail to deliver real value. But here, and especially for people with disabilities, the impact can be so great, and I felt that sometimes we are pursuing some other things that honestly don't even have a comparable impact on lives as now I can see AI can have on people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I was really, really, really inspired to see is, I'm hoping to quoting you right, but it's really interesting. Like, actually, people with disabilities are great early adopters, and so they actually help innovation and in the past in several ways. So they kind of have a vision into the future, and by their needs. Some very often they guide us into this future, and so it's really amazing. I was not completely aware of all of this, and which only reinforce how we need really diversity in our teams, right? So we need to. It's like in machine learning, we have the oversampling. Like, we need to actually be careful and choose our teams in ways that we pack as much diversity as possible in several dimensions. Obviously, people with disabilities are obviously a very important one, and it was really, really inspiring. Honestly, I'm still really amazing work. I have a few questions later for Saqib, actually more technical ones, but for now I just wanted to say this.
Okay, and to give you back, Saqib, I agree with Rui, and your quote is amazing about the importance and the impact that a diverse team that includes people with different levels of disability, different types of disability, can have in the way that you think about how you collect the data, what's the true problem that you're solving, and how you can divert to that. So I would love to hear your thoughts on the point that Rui added, because I think you have a privileged position in Microsoft, being a lead in this AI and research part of Microsoft, of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So you make a good point about diversity, where this is across the board, not just disability, but if you have a diverse team, then you're going to get more voices represented. And, you know, the world is diverse. So if we can make sure that we have that our teams represent the world as much as possible, that's never perfectly possible. But then you get those more voices and there's more ideas, those represented in your product or your project. And then if you think about disability and accessibility specifically, I sometimes say that disability is actually a driver for innovation. People often say, oh my goodness, I have to do accessibility, it's going to be hard. I like to think it the other way, where if you look at all these innovations, inventions, which came about because someone with the ability to create and someone with a disability, with a challenge, came together. And the Alexander Graham Bell made the telephone was inspired by his learnings on regarding family members who are hard of hearing, or the iPhone touchscreen, or on-screen keyboards, or text-to-speech, or speech recognition, or did I give you another dozen examples? These are all inventions which are everyday part of technology, but came about because someone with this disability had a challenge that needed solving. So you could, I encourage people to think about disability and accessibility really differently as these challenging problems that can be solved and then later become mainstream solutions.
That's a very strong message. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. I just, you were talking and I was on your example, and I was remembering this pandemic situation created the need for me to be far away from my grandmother, and she's 98 years old, going on 99. And she has hard hearing. She really very difficult to have a conversation when I was visiting her, and I have amazing conversations via Skype with her because she's hearing me inside her ear with the volume that we can decide. I don't need to be shouting. And I after a couple of calls, I realized that huge different and positive impact, although I would prefer to be there with her. Small things that technology can do, and maybe you haven't, I never thought about using this as a means for talking with my grandmother. She didn't even know that they existed. So many times, to your message, we have tools and ways for us to solve everyday problems that we have, that we as developers, as engineers, should be taking part. So strong, really strong message there, Sakiv, and thank you for sharing with our listeners and ourselves. And passing it on to Vitor, and also to hearing his thoughts on accessibility and AI and how the two meet and empower each other.
Not to interrupt. You mentioned Skype and so forth, and maybe not for your grandmother, but one of the great things is that all the products now have the live transcription, where we're using speech recognition and potentially even translation and text to speech to, yep, in the case of someone who's hard of hearing, to display what is being recognized. And again, maybe not in this situation, but that came about because there was a researcher who was hard of hearing, mm-hmm, and he really wanted to be able to participate in those telephone calls. So it's necessity is the mother of invention. The invention is just something that so many people are using in this pandemic to get that live captioning and or live translation.
Yeah, to that point, just adding also that it may be an accessibility requirement. It solved an accessibility problem, but created a great opportunity for live transcription of meetings where everybody was hearing, but they didn't need to take notes. So it created a new product that product is global, to the point that you were making, that having this diverse, even if you're talking about a niche problem, when you globalize that niche problem, it creates a bigger solution that benefits everybody. And that's a great example as well, Sakiv. Thank you. But Vitor, you
okay? I'm listening to this our discussion, and this is an interesting topic. I'm a defender of what I call positive engineering, and it means when we are talking about positive engineering, we are talking as engineering to put our knowledge on the service of the humankind. And this is a idea of technology in pro on the service of humankind and not against humankind. So I think that we have many technologies that can help the humankind, and in particular people with disabilities. This is an interesting thing. I don't think it's a particular role for artificial intelligence, as we have many technologies that can help people with disabilities. But I would have not only the people with disabilities, but I'll say that this type of technologies could also help people that are excluded people. They don't have a particular disability, but they are just excluded because they are poor, because they are just unlucky, and so because they are in the wrong context, in the wrong country. So how can we use technology to help these people is something that we should have in mind. I would like to refer the roadmap to 2030 from the United Nations. That is the new roadmap of the millennium goals that we had in the beginning of our millennium, as let's say a set of aims that we should have in mind in our day life task as engineers. But saying that, of course, I would I have to defend that, to argue that artificial intelligence can play a particular role. And I would say that in terms of what we can do with artificial intelligence in software, we have a lot of things that could be done, namely in the area of intelligent interfaces. That means the interface that are able to recognize the user, and if the user is ambliope, or if he's blind, or if he's something with a particular disability with the with his hands to handle the keyboard. So what we expect is to have an intelligent interface that could self-adapt to that particular user. And this is something that I would love to hear some comments, but I would just be short because I think that I don't want to take too long this time. I would add another thing that is in the opposite direction. This is one thing is how can we use software to make the software more accessible to the users with disability. Another thing is how can we use artificial intelligence to make our hardware, and when I'm talking about hardware, I'm talking, for instance, things like cars or any particular infrastructure in a building, more accessible to the disability citizens. And I'm including things like cyber physics. Some questions.
Good topics. Great topics. Do you want to pick that one, Saqib?
There are many interesting points there. I'm going to touch on several of them. But again, let's be interactive, discuss some of these. So I love this idea of positive engineering. And you mentioned something where you like not just disability, but people, including people who are typically overlooked. Mm-hmm. And there's this great phrase, nothing about us without us. And so it's important that whenever you make these solutions, the first thing is you go and talk to the people. So as engineers, it's too easy to think up grand solutions based on technology, but no, just go and talk to people. And then there's another concept within Microsoft of inclusive design, and this idea that design for one extend to many. And again, instead of trying to solve for everyone all at once, find one or two or three or a handful of people, work really closely with them, solve their problems. And then you're going to find that actually it will resonate with many more people and you'll get more ideas. But start by truly solving the needs of a few people. So these sort of general principles, I think, that you mentioned at the beginning, that we can really lean into nothing about us without us, and design for one extent to many.
Great ideas and very inspiring quotes, to be honest. Very, very good. And
let me add one more thing.
Go for it.
Just to say, Saqib, that, well, in the, don't you think that in the future, well, if we have the luck to live for many years, we all have disabilities as we become, let's say, older people. So this idea of disability technologies just for the guys that born with disabilities is a little fake, because in the end, if we are lucky to survive more years, we will have our disabilities.
That's a great point.
Even situational. So in Microsoft, we often talk about temporary, permanent, and situation disabilities. Okay. So, okay, permanent disabilities, we know. But temporary disabilities are, for example, the sun is in your eyes, so right now you can't see. You're in a noisy building site, and right now you can't hear. Or you are a mother with some shopping and a baby, and right now you can't open the door. So disability, in a sense, you could think of it, can also be temporary, and it can also be based on your situation.
Mm-hmm. Very.
So you
very
make things. Yeah, you see, you solve these hard problems for the people who need them, mm-hmm. but then it's going to benefit many more people than you imagine.
You're absolutely right. Never thought about situational disability, but that's the ground for building really natural interfaces, because we are very much aware of this. And if you're in an allowed place like a disco or something like that, you would use gestures, you would use eye contact, you would use other stuff naturally to communicate with other humans. But technology doesn't adapt that way, at least not yet. And your point is amazing, to create globally accessible and adaptable interfaces like Vitor was talking about, not just physical, but even conceptually adaptive to the situation, being ambient aware. So it's very good. And I think Rui also said that he had some points and questions that he wanted to add. So Rui, to you, if you want to add.
I don't want to get very technical. I was trying, actually, it's not that easy to articulate my thought, because I'm still getting the insights from Saki, which are really, really spot on. So it's really, really, even for a lot of cases, so focus on one person, because it's never about, it will be more than that. But if we focus on, it's great insights. But getting a little bit more technical, right, typically to my side. So I don't know, Saki, what you can share, because I looked and I saw that, for example, the Sing AI app probably is using a lot of cognitive services, so ready-to-use AI services that Microsoft has. And one really question that I would like to know what you can share is, so are these ready-to-use models available? Do these models need a lot of effort to better serve these specific audience and people with disabilities? So were you able to use these models out of the box? Did they require special considerations? I don't know, what could you share with challenges building AI for a special, you know, not for the wider audience, but for people for disabilities?
Yeah, so Microsoft provides a number of models, API services, which developers can use. So Cognitive Services has object detection and image captioning and text recognition and a bunch more. So sometimes we are able to use Cognitive Services. In other cases, because it's a mobile app, we actually choose to generate our own very lightweight models, which run in real time on device. And that's a particular requirement that we have. So
makes sense. Preserves,
yeah, in terms of efficiency.
Privacy. Efficiency.
Yes, exactly. So and then sometimes also there is a need for differences in the model. So sometimes there are models that don't exist. So we have a barcode scanner, but because someone who's blind will not know where the barcode is, we have a very, very lightweight model which like a binary classifier, which will detect when it sees a beginnings of a barcode. And the more confident it gets, the faster the beeps go. So it's like playing hot and cold when you're a child. So that's like a model that just doesn't exist. We had to and similarly with recognizing currencies, there's particular metrics we use. It's not just typical image classification. So that's something we made from scratch. And with object detection, we are working on recognizing different types of objects which are not in common data sets. For example, I know White Canes is a clear example. That's not in any of these big data data sets. So, yeah, we use a combination.
And to that point, you have a I was reading a great article that you were sharing, I think it was last year, about this grant and going to the point that you introduced about the way that we are also helping the community grow new models and new ways of approaching accessibility and technology in AI, about the Orbit dataset creation that started in the UK. And I think that goes exactly to the point that you're talking, Sakib, is the need to create new models that look at the same type of problems in a different way. That's not just recognizing what's a share, what's a dog, what's a cat, but this is my dog, this is my cat, and even more, these are objects that are not normal. Use that's like you said, the cane or even other things like things that you yourself is going to use, but it's not mass audience, and those objects are not very present in those data sets. And this is not very hard, as you said in the article, and I love your quote on that people with disability will be very keen in building that data set really easily and classifying it more than we normal, let's say, mass users, let's say like that, would be keen on giving you pictures of cars and cats and dogs and classifying this, but because, like you said, early adopters normally, for myself for instance, I'm very keen in using new features and giving feedback, but I'm an early adopter, and those type of users normally don't exist in the global in the wild, because they just want the finished product and just using it. They don't want the hassle of being giving feedback to the teams like your team and helping you build the product, right? So maybe that's also to your point, I think a huge difference that could be a huge accelerator to build those models and then collect on the outputs of those models and really improve people's lives. But what do you think about the data set problem or the lack of it, and how fast can we compensate for it?
Yeah, you mentioned the Orbit project. There's also another great one called VizWiz. And in general, there are two challenges here. The first is making sure that the data sets that people use are diverse and representative of everyone, in this case, people with disabilities. So an example a researcher once gave me, and this is very extreme, but that self-driving cars might learn that things with wheels are cars and move fast, but then that doesn't account for someone in a wheelchair. So, you know, that's just an example where you need to make sure that people in wheelchairs are represented in the models as pedestrians and so on and so on. So that was just one that resonated with me. The Orbit project is looking at how can we enable people who are blind or visually impaired to train their own models. So not be the consumers of models, but also be recording their own videos and thereby generating personalized models which recognize, for example, I have a son and I might want to find one of his toys or something. Now, I don't want to know about toys in the big data abstract sense. I want to know about his jingly ball or something like that. So these are models that only the end user can create. So this touches on two points. Personalization, that's important. And the second one is the data generated by someone who's blind, who when you can't see what you're taking a photo or video of. And there's another project, VizWiz, which is doing the same thing, where it's trying to generate image captions specifically of photos taken by people who are blind, which may be less perfect than or less well-framed than a general photo.
Makes a lot of sense. And it's the small things, right? It's the devil is in the details, and small things make a lot of difference, and they're not that hard to fix if we have the data, if we create the data sets and create awareness as well. So hopefully we're doing a little bit as well in this episode. And giving it back to Vitor again, and you brought up some great points, so if you want to add some more thoughts on that.
Well, just put another thing on the table. That is the relation between accessibility and democracy. So, because in the end, when we are using, let me put this way: when we talk about augmented intelligence, and when we are using this type of technology to expand the abilities of someone that has some drawbacks, some, let's say, that is not in the same condition of the others, in a way, we are using technology for improving our democracy. Mm-hmm. Saki, what are your feelings about this idea of technology and democracy?
It's a great point.
That is a great point. I'm just thinking that through. If we can maybe think of this as democratizing technology, in that we want everyone to be able to have access to technology, and that is across ability, disability, and all economic spectrums. And so I think when we create the technology, it's important to remember that you can create it for a niche, you can create it for people just like you, but it's really thinking about how do we have as many people benefiting from this as possible. Mm-hmm. And one way of doing that, as I said earlier on, is to be thinking about specific individuals that are across the spectrum. Because, you know, you can't develop everything for 7 billion people, but you can develop for a small sample of well-chosen, diverse individuals.
Mm-hmm. And to add on that, my thoughts is that technology can be really the enabler to level the field between all of those different aspects that. Well, we're not. None of us are perfect and are able in every way, and we're lacking on some aspects. Like Taki was saying, so it can be the disability or it can be something else, and it's just leveling the playing field, creating equality. Vitor was talking about if you don't have any the same means in terms of richness, you're a little bit more poor, or you're in a nation that's not doing as great as another nation. It could be war, it could be something else. Technology can level the field, can help the handicap to handicap, like a board game, and there's another passion of mine to re-level the starting player, so that everybody, independently or what his background is, can be in the same level. And this is something that I think AI is also empowering steadily in terms of, for instance, knowledge mining, for instance, even computer vision in the case of seeing AI, just giving Saqib's example and work using it as an example. I mean, but I think that's exactly what to the point that Vitor was saying, that's exactly, in my vision, the way that we democratize or help democracy grow and create more equality throughout the field. And I think that's an amazing thing. And I think Saqib is yourself and your team is doing a lot of that to the world, and that's good. And kudos on that again for that contribution. Just a final point for a discussion that I think would benefit our audience, and I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on this, is, okay, there's a lot of potential, and I think we talked a lot about this potential that exists and a lot of things that are happening, and it's easily accessible to our engineering teams in throughout this our audience that can do this and can help these people. So let's talk about the blockers. So what are still the main blockers in terms of creating more accessible systems? What are the problems that we still need to put our brains in that are not just getting the data set and training the model and still need a little bit more thought? So it still needs a little bit more brain power invested in creating the solution for it. And I think, Saqib, do you guys have been talking, and can you share anything that you top of mind that you feel that needs work? Maybe for our audience would reach out to you and say, okay, I have an idea on that. Maybe let's do a brainstorming. What do you think? Any ideas?
I guess I think of it in three senses. Mm-hmm. Number one is education. Number two is solving specific problems. And number three is the big vision. So let me touch on all three of those.
Okay.
The one, when you talk about accessible systems, there's just still a lot of unawareness about accessibility. And this is often simple things like, hey, you should write labels on your images so that someone who's blind can understand them. You should put captions on your videos so someone who can't hear the audio track will be able to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. These are things that have been there for decades. It's just the awareness and taking the time to do this. And the tools are getting better. The education, I hope, is getting better. So that's the one thing we can all do.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is solving very specific problems. That's something we're doing with Seeing AI today, and we often actually work with other external organizations who like want to work on a particular challenge. And this is this idea that artificial general intelligence is a way away, but actually today's systems are all very specialized. They're very specialized on, can we solve this one particular problem very well? We've got a data set, we're going to train a model, we're going to create some experience, but it's all very specific. So one of the unsolved problems is that generalizing it, I'll touch on that in a minute, but it's also the specific problems like color recognition. Anyone would think that recognizing what color something is was solved years ago, but you actually find, no, if you take a picture with a standard camera, then if it has shadow, pink can look gray. And if there's too much yellow light, anything can look yellow. So it's remarkable when you look at the real world needs of people, what the problems which are solved and what the problems which aren't solved are. And people often find this idea of color recognition as being, you know, just something that's so surprising. Or like reading LCD displays, which are backlit, OCR just doesn't work well on them because of the glare from the backlight. So find the real world challenges and solve these. If we solve enough of these small problems, they'll add up. And I'll talk about the big vision, but we're going to pause because I'm talking a lot.
No worries. And you guys, Rui and Vitor, do you want to pick up on this? What are your thoughts on the points that Saqib shared? And
I don't know. It's very hard. What can I add? Right? It's really. I would say from kind of outside perspective, I think it's really, and I think Saqib actually mentioned this word, like, I don't know if in this sense, but it's awareness, first of all, so that we are aware, right? We are not on our own bubble. So the world is not the majority. So there are a lot of different people with different needs, with people with disability and people with less with different conditions. So it's awareness, first of all, diversity, reframing, like seeing these kind of challenges, not as something that, like Sakib was saying, like we need to do, but as opportunities, because these groups, these very special users can be really early adopters and actually a window into the future. So they gave us a window into the future. It's a really, really interesting mindset. And then, you know, be specific, another learning. So it's I cannot add anything. I'm just repeating Sakib amazing insights. Be specific, right? Start with a single user, start with a small group, because if you find a good solution for them, for sure there will be many more that you can help. So, you know, I cannot add anything.
And Peter, I would love to hear your insight, yeah, especially in the academy.
I agree with what Sakis and Ruiz said, but I would also like to add some provocative idea that I think that we should have some rules, that some impositions. Okay. That to our software, as we have some impositions,
yeah,
to some other type of things. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a simple example. Here in Lisbon, we have some impositions for blind people, for instance, to cross the streets, or to some disability people just to assess the buildings.
Yep.
So
you need to have ramps. And stuff like that. Ramps. Otherwise, you don't get the approval from the
city. So maybe we can, we should move in the direction of impose some, let's say, minimum of accessibility things in our software. Mm-hmm. Like we have, for instance, and we have some standards for the websites. They are known, and we have tools included to measure the accessibility of the websites. But as far as I know, we don't have any movement to impose some conditions. So maybe in the future we can also move in this direction. Mm-hmm. Or I'm being too positive.
That's a good point, and goes to the point that Sakib was also talking about in terms of education. And maybe we need to, I think your point is maybe we need to accelerate a little bit and create a little bit more guidance, like hard guidance instead of soft guidance, in terms of what we should be doing in terms of video and or our meetings and every other software that people are using, especially in this remote scenario. Good examples were already given. But yeah, for sure. Do you want to add something, Sakib, as the closing thoughts?
Yes. So first I'll respond to Victor, and then I do have some closing thoughts. So it's all about carrots and sticks. I focus a lot of my time on the carrots. How do we encourage and inspire people? But I also think we need enforcement. We have many rules around web content guidelines, mm-hmm, about discrimination, especially in employment or mm-hmm, government facilities around purchasing or government purchase, but then the law also needs to be enforced and so forth. And maybe not dig too much into that, but Victor makes a good point.
And your very closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts. So there's what I think the future. I often talk about assistive agents. This is this idea that what if each and every one of us had a little friend on our shoulder whispering in our ear, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. Someone who could close the gap between what we're capable of doing and what we are able to do at that moment. And this touches on the situation that we're in, the abilities that we have, whether that's, you know, our financial context, our environment. And kind of, so when I do something like Seeing AI and our latest work on augmented reality, and it's about the system building up a context and awareness about the world around you, and then understanding your needs, your wants, and filling in that gap of what's needed there and then. And I think this is this framework, this idea of thinking, can be applied to people with disabilities, of all sorts of disabilities. But as we've discussed, it can be applied to people in many, many other situations, like maybe you just can't remember something, but your little agent remembers for you. Maybe you don't understand the language and your assistant understands for you. So, you know, this is my vision for some years from now. I hope we will all have these little agents assisting us. And Yeah, the work I'm doing right now, maybe it's one step, two steps in that direction, but definitely excited for the future.
Love that vision that you seeded, hope in myself and hopefully in the audience. And it's what a great way to end this main part of the episode and move now to our next segment, the AI news. Welcome to our segment AI News, the segment that is part of the end of our episodes, where we share a news article that we found interesting in the past couple of weeks, and we share our comments on it. It's just a reminder for everybody that the links to all of these articles are in the description, so if you choose to read them fully, you can just expand the description, click on the links. We don't read them in this segment normally. So Rui, do you want to kickstart our AI news today?
Which article do you have? You know, actually it is kind of related. I was not aware, but it seems that Facebook is planning this year to launch their smart glasses. And so they are currently, as I saw in the news, they are currently evaluating if they will go or they will not go into facial recognition features with the smart glasses, obviously because that packs a lot of legal issues, but they are considering. So I think it is an interesting discussion for sure, not only for Facebook but for any similar gadget like this. So let's see.
I'm always curious about anyone that starts building smart glasses, because it seems like really doable, but no one has done it really well yet.
Well, yeah,
really well, yeah. Like mass production established, everybody's using it. Google tried it. We have a really powerful smart glass with holograms and everything, but it's a tough sell. So I'm really keen on seeing what Facebook has. It just a small comment, because I felt we were talking about it and like thinking, okay, maybe this is going to be the one. Vitor, yourself, which news do you have today for us?
Well, today is not exactly a new. Actually, it's something that is quite old. So instead of it's quite old, but it's still completely actual. So okay. I would like to talk about positive engineering again, and about association, international association that we have. It's called T for People, Technology for People. And this technology is composed by people from different countries. Mm-hmm. And we organize three different conferences. One is called ZAI, that is the acronym for Develop Software for Accessibility and Fight Info Exclusion. The other is about sports and health. And the other is about technology for education. So what is interesting in this conference, and is what I want to point out, is that all this conference and the idea of these organizations is to motivate people, and namely the researchers, but also the students, to use their creativity and knowledge to produce technology that can help people, disability or non-disability people, to have a better life. So this is not exactly a new, but it's something that is actual. Additional, I would like to say that the next ZAI conference will be organized in Lisbon. It's not completely the set up, but let's say most probably organized by Universidade Nova de Lisboa.
Okay. Sounds good. Good reference. A good conference for us to be aware. Myself, I brought you a news article about, but it was basically related to our recent event, the Ignite, that was a couple of weeks ago. We launched a couple of hardware, still processing everything that we put out there in this Ignite. It was a strong Ignite, especially for myself, that I love AI and augmented reality and virtual reality. These are my main passions in terms of technology, and it's it was a strong one, this one. And I'm going to share to you a blog article from the Microsoft blog called With Azure Percept, Microsoft adds new ways for customers to bring AI to the edge. And I was very, very happy. This is a good article that explains what Percept Vision and Percept Audio is, the hardware that we put for AI models be deployed at the edge. Basically, this is a software development kit for these two. It's very accessible. And if you guys are doing something in terms of vision or audio, I think this is a great, great setup for you to accelerate. You don't need to buy separate hardwares. Just get this development kit, put it out there. And if you're doing hardware, and this for me is going to be the big thing, is this is just the beginning, and the article talks about this. It's AI in the edge is the main workload that we see pushing forward to be massively produced. And the article talks just about these two. These are the main. If you think about AI in the edge, you think about what's the big quantities of data being collected at the edge that you don't want to move to the cloud. You think about voice, and you think about high definition video that you want to process at the edge. And just they started out doing these two hardwares, but this is just the beginning. You think about other workloads that you would want hardware to address, and then this could be the blueprint for you as a hardware builder to start building edge devices that are AI enabled and follow this blueprint. So I think it's a good way for you to onboard yourself to a new hardware that's available for you as a developer that are tackling this computer vision or remote audio in a different way. So it opens a couple of doors, but as well, if you're a hardware builder, maybe this is also a good blueprint for you to look at. And just sharing you because I'm really, really interested in seeing what things are going to be starting to be built on top of this SDK, of this hardware SDK. So amazing. And that's all the time that we had. My name is Marco Antonio Silva, and you've been listening to the Building the Future AI Portugal podcast, the podcast where we talked about AI in casual and informal way, but full of content and ideas. I would like to thank my partners in crime for this initiative, for another amazing episode. Thank you, Vitor, for this episode.
Thank you too very much.
Thank you. And thank you, Rui, for your episode.
Thank
as well.
You. Thank you. It was really amazing. Really cool. Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you guys on these episodes. And a special thank to our amazing, amazing guest today, Saqib Shaikh. And please add Saqib to your to your follows either on Twitter or on the LinkedIn. Follow the links below. Saqib, it was amazing perspectives, depth to this conversation, and real value that you added. I personally learned a lot today and had an amazing time. So my heartfelt thanks to you.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure and a lot of fun. And for the audience, do check out Seeing AI at seeingai.com.
Exactly. We have the link on the description, so follow it and check out the project. It's worth your time. You'll be happy. Of course, if you have any feedbacks, ideas, or suggestions that you want to ping us, you can reach out to us via email at podcast@buildingthefuture.pt. We always love to hear your thoughts and ideas and suggestions, and it helps us grow. Stay tuned for our next episode in the usual 2 weeks. Until then, thank you for listening, and continue to activate Portugal and build a better future with technology. Thank you all.